Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, Trudy. No, I would have wondered the whole time. Dear friends, a couple weeks ago on a Sunday right after church, I think it was two weeks ago, Alicia and I went to the coast and we stayed at for the night on Sunday night at the Adobe Resort in Yahats. And, of course, I got caught up in reading the history of the resort. Alicia's like, let's go out and be on the town. I was like, this is really interesting. I want to read this. But it's helpful because I want to share the story with you. And I saved it for Pentecost today. We'll get to how this talks about Pentecost. The Adobe Resort was built by Larry Smith in 1951. And the Smith family built it, and he had a very clear plan to build an amazing resort out on the coast, right where it stands in Yahats. And here was the plan. The plan was to take the sediment, the kind of clay, muddy soil there on the coast, and build kind of block-like structures, one after another, over many, many years. And after those years, then put together this structure and resort that would be well-known throughout the western part of the United States, right there in Yahats, the Adobe Resort. Now, it was a family-run operation. Grandma would get up in the morning and make breakfast. The stories I read corroborated this, and she'd make dinner. And Larry and the kids and the aunts and uncles, they all got together and put those bricks together year after year after year. Now, after a couple of years, it was private. The blocks were held in a barn, apparently, and no one in the town of Yahat saw the collection of these blocks. After a couple of years, people in the town actually started making fun of the Smith family. They were the joke of the town. What are they working on? Why is this not finished? In taverns, in the church, so forth, is what the stories are told. And in about year three, after making all these block structures for this big resort hidden in a barn, the son got three of his fingers cut off, the story's told. Larry Smith went back to work the next day very quickly to get these bricks going. And at that point, the stories are told that the people in Yahats actually became, they weren't just laughing and cynical. At this point, they got enraged and were angry about this project. Why would you do this? And why would you hurt your family in the process? Your son is hurt. That's the way it went for quite a long period of time in the early 1950s, the building of this resort. Hold on for a second here. We can relate to that. When we have unfinished projects, it really can bring ridicule upon us, can it? Husbands, yeah, when we have unfinished projects, how's that go? Now, thankfully, this morning here at church, we have lots of finished projects, and we're celebrating that in our church service this morning. I want to give some credit right here in my sermon to some of the finishing project people and projects. They've gone through some immense things. So our graduates this morning, we are celebrating them. They have gone through a project, blood, sweat, and tears. Getting through high school. So we got Joey here this morning. Congratulations. Right here, Joey Johnson. Graduated. And Dwayne Halesto is here. Dwayne, congratulations. And Megan Kilgore. Megan's here. Graduated from Oregon State. Amber, too. We're celebrating Amber. Amber's not here, but she graduated as well from West Albany. That's awesome. And we've got some cards and bags. We want to celebrate great achievement, each of you. You have finished project, 4 years. It's really good. And also, we're celebrating the end of the Sunday school year. And there were lots of friendships that were formed this year, lessons taught about God. And we were deepened in our journey. So that's kind of a finishing kind of thing here. June 9th, we're ending the year. So that's something to celebrate. In 3 weeks, we're also celebrating the finished project of a couple of our confirmands here at Peace. That is Ingrid and Nicholas. So that'll be June 30th. When we have finished projects, we pat ourselves on the back. Husbands, you know this, when the project moves out of the garage, and the space is created there, you get a few pats on your back, don't you? Ladies, it feels good when you get that final stitch on the quilt that you put together. So we know a lot about final projects. We've all experienced that and finishing projects, I should say. Finished projects. right, now that we got that out of the way, now for the tough news. You are unfinished. You are unfinished spiritually. Every person in this congregation is unfinished. Philippians 1, verse 6 says this, to him who began a good work within you, he will bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, part of that, what Paul is saying right there is, you are unfinished. High school graduates, you're unfinished. God's unfinished with you. College, Megan, God is unfinished with you. Parents, myself, younger parents, unfinished. Grandparents, unfinished. Great-grandparents, unfinished. Remember what I said, unfinished. When you're unfinished, it can bring ridicule from people around you because you're not complete and you're not finished. You're not the way that you should be, like the Adobe Resort out on the coast, unfinished. And as unfinished Christians, it means that when we operate, we share that we have imperfections, and we share that we're not perfect, and we share that our God strengthens us through the process, and we share that we don't have all the answers in life, and we share that we are an unfinished project. That will bring ridicule. Sorry to say, it will bring ridicule. Pew Research says in the state of Oregon, just this last spring it came out, that amongst adults, Christians are now the minority religious spiritual group in the state of Oregon. You know what number one is? Did you catch it? Nuns. People who don't believe anything. They're the number one spiritual group in the state of Oregon. That's amongst adults. The divide between those who are nuns and those who are Christians is even wider for those who are children, those who are younger. And so there's difficulty here. We're unfinished. And so when we share things like, I'm not complete, you may get laughed at by someone. When you share things that you're involved with, that you believe in a God who helps and puts you together and strengthens you, you might even get ridiculed at times. I remember when I first came a few years ago, it doesn't happen often, but I experienced this. There was someone that we got to know, and they first off found out that I was a pastor. And this was the conversation over about a year that happened. They said, you're a pastor? And I said, yes. And their response was, that's cool. That's neat. About 3 months passed by, person came to me and said, you're a pastor. 3 months passed by, she said this, do you actually believe what's in the Bible? Yeah, I do. Was the response. A few months passed by, here was the response. Do you know what's in the Bible is actually hurtful for people, and you teach that to children? Wow. We live in times in which we're unfinished projects, and we may get ridicule out in the community. Graduates, as you're younger, you're going to experience that in your life. I want you to know that. That's the real thing. Larry Smith did one thing that was very helpful in the building of the Adobe Resort. I wanted to share it with you. It made all the difference. He knew that the ground and sediment there, right by Yahats, that if he put it up, that it would erode when the rains and big storms came, as they oftentimes do on the coast. They sweep in and just wipe away the mud. He knew that that wouldn't work, and everyone else on the coast knew that too. The buildings on the coast at that time were made of wood or stone, more sturdy material, that sort of thing. Larry Smith did this. He sent a sample of the soil on the coast out to the Midwest to have the soil tested. And that company, and I'm sorry for all those chemistry fans here this morning, I can't remember what exactly it was, but that chemical company came up with a compound, a solution, in which that solution added in with the clay and the muddy substance allowed for a block that would not erode in the storms and weather on the coast. Larry got that solution. He tested it out here on the coast. The stuff that didn't have that solution, whatever it was, I can't remember the chemical compound. Sorry for you people that are into that. It eroded away. But then he used blocks mixed in with the solution. They stood firm. And after 5 years, the people in Yahat showed up to that resort, and they were shocked that after 5 years, there was no sign of erosion. And after 10 years, the resort became actually well-known and became legendary, and the Smith family became very well-known for that resort, all because of a little solution added in with the clay soil. Friends, on your own, you're going to erode. You're going to decay. It's going to happen. Today, God is giving you a solution to mix in with you, to make sure that you're firm and immovable and unshaken. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's the solution to make you strong. We read about it here in our text this morning. Brad did a great job in all those names. But here we read about the gift of the Holy Spirit. It happens on this day called Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But what you should know is that this day of Pentecost actually had another name, and it pre-existed the date here, say 30 AD, and had existed for a long time in the Jewish faith. It went by a different name. It was called this, the Feast of the First Fruits. That's what it was called. This happened 50 days after the day of Passover. It was the day in which the fruit from the very first fruit was ripened, and you could just taste it, and it was a good thing. What the Jews did, God's people, is they took that first fruit and they gave it back to God as an offering in thanks. But what it also did, the festival of first fruits, was this. It was confidence that God would give a whole bunch more fruit throughout the season. Huge confidence. They knew it. They gave their first fruits because they knew good things were coming for the rest of the season. How ironic that the Holy Spirit comes on this day. This is what God was telling us. Not just at that time would God give his Holy Spirit, but he would pour it out whenever you receive the body and blood of Jesus. When you recall your baptism, he's pouring out his Spirit still today. When you forgive another person of their sins, God pours out his Spirit upon you. And you are immovable and cannot be shaken. The Holy Spirit does this for you. You know, we've talked about it in so many songs here this morning, can life be like a storm? Boy, it sure can. Out on the coast, if you've ever experienced that, squalls come in and nasty rain and you're just drenched. And then the sun breaks through and you think you can get out the suntan lotion and enjoy. And then another squall comes in, and you run in, and you get protection. Well, that's the way life works. We have illness, we have troubles, we have our doubts, and then there's a break, and things go well, but then more comes our way. Again, if you fight the storms in life by yourself, you will erode. You will decay. But God gives his Holy Spirit a special solution that's bound to you. It cannot be taken away. You cannot be shaken. And the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The paraclete in the Greek will comfort you no matter what. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is essentially this. God will not leave you on your own alone in the storms of life. He gives you of his very self a solution to firm you up so that no matter what you do, you can take on the storms of life. You know, J.S. Bach was a Lutheran. J.S. Bach was a great musician. We have great musicians at our church, and they would agree. Is J.S. Bach one of the greatest musicians? Am I going out on a limb by saying that? No? A great musician. He was also a theologian. This is what J.S. Bach did. Whenever there were hymns about the Holy Spirit, he'd shift and do things differently. Down on the foot pedal of that organ that he played in the Lutheran congregation, he would play with the foot pedal every third beat. Not one and a half, not two, not one, but every third beat. And it was Bach's way of telling the congregation of the third person of the Trinity. And also it was Bach's way of saying it's consistent, it can't be moved, and it's there no matter what. So we are unfinished projects, yes. God will complete us one day, that's exciting. But in the meantime, Know that you are immovable and cannot be shaken. When you call on the Holy Spirit, remember your baptism. Call upon the Holy Spirit each day. That's the special solution to keep you firm in the storms of life. Amen.